This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Let's go to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joshua Briscoe. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know all the official titles anymore of Joshua Briscoe. Like, I used to know what it is. He is the executive producer for Armageddon at Arrowhead. That's a very important one. You do like the Chiefs pre and post game. You got some podcasts. You got a lot of stuff going on right now. How you doing, Joshua Briscoe?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I like leading with executive producer, though. That's definitely the fanciest sounding title of anything. And you know, this, maybe it's a one and done. Maybe I don't know what the invites look like in the future. Maybe it's my single producing debut that way. But yeah, the other stuff's mostly Chiefs related, you know, Chiefs Radio Network and all of that. It's been a good busy month or so, and I think it's going to keep going that way for the next few.
I don't know about you. I'm trying to win an Emmy.
Ooh, I'd love to be in an Emmy Award winner. Yeah. Boy, I hadn't even considered that yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to win an Emmy. Right now we're talking to Joshua Briscoe. All right, Josh, there's a lot of things to get into. I'm sorry. I can't get myself all up in arms about guys 48, 49, 50 and below on the roster. I feel like cut down day is draft day Twitter. Just trying to hold on to that final, hey, I might have been right about this guy. Like, that's what I think that it is. Like, I'm supposed to be all upset about Asa Pohl getting released. I'm supposed to be all mad about this guy or all excited about it. That's what I feel like it is. I feel like it's draft Twitter holding on for just the final morsel of, hey, I've been watching the film on this guy. I think he can be a productive NFL player.
Yeah, and that's awesome that you have other hobbies. But for me, Asa Pohl's future is a matter of life and death. If Carson Steele, Jason Brownlee, and Asa Pohl aren't on this practice squad in a few days, my entire month is ruined. That's not your fault, Carrington. That's I'm happy for your well-adjusted brain. I'm saying we don't all have one of those.
No, that is very, very true. Because, like, I'm thinking is, if this Asa Pohl guy, if he is ever in the game, something went terribly wrong. Like, if there is any fan base that kind of knows, hey, I don't care how good your roster is. You know what your offensive line is not 8 or 9 deep. You know what I mean? Like, if you ever get to the point where your 8th or 9th offensive lineman's in the game, that's probably not a game that you got a great chance of winning because those guys matter. So I'm looking at the Chiefs right now. I mean, they got 3 tackles, 4 if you want to count Wandae Morris. Anything deeper than that, something's gone wrong.
Well, and I think I'm glad you mentioned Wandae Morris because that is why he is still on the roster. Barring something shocking, he'll be on the 53. And that's because, look, I mean, everybody remembers the worst of Wandae Morris last year because he was playing through an injury, it seems, and that whole position was an absolute nightmare. But you may not remember a good half or a good game or two from Wandae Morris over the course of his career to this point. He is a guy who you can have in there for a little bit. That's the cutoff between a starting caliber player and a replacement level player and a developmental player. Like, if you are replacement level, you can go in there for a little bit and kind of hold it together, not be the reason everything gets derailed. If you're there to game plan against for 6 or 8 weeks and opposing defenses learn every bit of your weaknesses, well, then you're probably going to look like a replacement level player under that level of spotlight. So that is why, like, I think your Pole, your Ethan Driscoll types. You know, he had an appendectomy, so he might have a non-football injury list path for him. We'll see. But you have these developmental tackles in large part in hopes that they will develop into a guy who you can have out there for a little bit. I like the idea, even like Chu Godrick, the international player who's been around for a bit. He doesn't even take up a practice squad spot if he makes it there. So you want to go ahead and try to find your diamond in the rough, find your incredible athletes that didn't play a whole lot of football up until their professional career. Find those guys, develop them, try to make it happen. But ultimately, if you have to have somebody run out there and protect Patrick Mahomes for a few plays you weren't expecting him to be out there, you want it to be Wanya Morris and not the guy who's never done it. So I do think that's a distinction worth making on a day like today.
Right now, we're talking to our Chiefs insider, Joshua Briscoe. Josh, are you sure that FAU was going to make the team? Because I'm just going through the numbers. And if Derek Nnadi was traded for and now he is going to make the team and they play a different position, like I'm kind of doing the roster math. And maybe he was going to make the team, but he was going to be right there on the roster bubble that I kind of think they went to him and they did the Tyler Bray. Hey, big dog, we need this spot. You got to go on IR for a little bit and we can keep this spot open and we'll try again next year. That's what I think happened. Are you certain that FAU was going to make the team, and maybe you have a different theory on what happened?
No, I can't say I was completely certain, and I certainly wasn't certain. Yeah, that'll do. I definitely wasn't certain that he was going to be a game day active player. I think that the way that the defensive end group shakes out, you say that you've got this like guaranteed rookie contract and you can go ahead and have it for another year at the price point it is and everything. I think he was going to be the last defensive end on the roster, and maybe that's Malik Herring now. Maybe they go try to find somebody else somewhere else. Janarius Robinson got hurt before FAU did, so if there was any competition there, that ended with Robinson's injury. So I definitely don't think you can say that he was definitively safe. And I even thought it was kind of interesting in Steve Spagnuolo's press conference after they put him on IR. He was asked, like, well, what are you guys going to do, you know, without FAU in there? And he said something, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of like, well, you know, it hurts to lose anybody. And, you know, we were certainly counting on Felix to do some things. I think he was probably in line for a pretty light workload. And then just a guy that you have around if somebody ahead of him gets hurt. And now they'll try to find that from either Malik Herring or somebody else, is my guess.
I don't think I'm 100% approval rating like the Chiefs bringing back Derek Nnadi. Like, I'm not really sure how any single person could have an issue with the Chiefs bringing back Derek Nnadi. It's a very low acquisition cost. You know that he's a capable player in the league. He fits in this rotation. Like, this is one of the moves that there is no pushback from the other side.
I'll give you just a smidge. I really like Derek Nnadi, so I'm biased in that way, I guess. But I would say that at least the process was so strange that a few months ago you went, we're not going to need you, Derek Nnadi. Go ahead and go get this small deal with the Jets. And then obviously the Jets make two trades for defensive tackles before sending Nnadi back here. If nothing else, it's a bad look for the Marlon Tuipulotu, Fabian Lovett plan of like, oh, we're just going to find somebody else who can come in here and eat these snaps. Tershawn Wharton was gone for a big money deal, and he's a different type of defensive tackle anyway. Jerry Tillery, I don't think this really reflects on him. I think it makes sense that Derek Nnadi is back. I think it's a little bit surprising that they even had to do the pick swap to get him. Maybe there was a fear that somebody else would trade for Derek Nnadi. Okay. It's strange to me that a guy who played a relatively small number of snaps last year, they got to the end of August and said, yeah, all right, we're basically going to give back what we got for Sky Moore effectively, which is also virtually nothing, right? We're going to go ahead and give that up to make sure we get this guy back who has been here before, who we do know what he'll bring to the table. But it certainly wasn't important to them in March or April to have Derek Nnadi on this team. So I think the process is strange. I think it makes perfect sense that he's back.
Right now, we're talking to Joshua Briscoe going through possible cuts for the Kansas City Chiefs. The one thing that I'm really interested in all of this is just Elijah Mitchell. I don't know what the plan is at running back right now. Like, I could see a scenario in which Mitchell is on the team. I could also see a scenario in which we get some announcement here coming up in 20 minutes that the Chiefs have traded a 7th-round pick, and now they've picked up another wide receiver, and then that's why he gets released. What do you think the plan is for Elijah Mitchell?
I think for him, you know, talk about the process that got you here. I think the process with Elijah Mitchell seems relatively clear, assuming that he doesn't end up making the initial 53, which is what it kind of seems like right now. I just didn't do a whole lot in the preseason. And man, I don't know about you, but I just didn't hear anything about him from training camp. I think the idea was, hey, we'll give you a little bit of money to show up in St. Joe, and we're going to find out if you have this rest and recovery period. Do you have that burst, that explosiveness back that you had earlier in your career. And it seems like, unfortunately, and this is just how it goes in the NFL, certainly how it goes amongst running backs, it seems like that burst just did not return as he got healthier. And so now the Chiefs are looking around thinking, well, we don't really have a running back with explosion outside of Breshard Smith, who's a rookie that started playing running back a year ago. So I would think right now he's probably outside looking in. It doesn't surprise me that Carson Steele was let go first, but I have to think at this point that there's not a ton of optimism around Elijah Mitchell. Maybe he makes the team and I'm totally wrong, and there is still some hope that he can give you a little bit of that breakaway burst that this roster kind of needs there still. Otherwise, I really do think it would make a lot of sense for them to continue poking around to try to find somebody else who's a different type of runner than Kareem Hunt, who seems to be RB2 through and through at this point. I really do think they wanted somebody who's not Breshard Smith, who can give you that extra gear, and it just seems like Mitchell may not have had that gear left anymore.
How are you going to remember Carson Steele's time in Kansas City?
Crocky J, for the most part. I was pretty impressed. I think it was the third preseason. It was the Lions preseason game last year. He had a great pass pro rep that I wrote an entire story about because that's the headspace I was in at the time. So I'll remember him as good vibes, nice special teams, fun story. Not necessarily the guy you want getting 15 touches a game. I'm not sure it's over. I'm not sure it's over yet, Carrington. I'm holding out hope. Again, if he's not on the practice squad, my month is ruined. So give me a little more Crocky J just on the practice squad. He can be a game day call up if you need a little special teams help, or if Kareem Hunt gets hurt, then he's in the mix. Don't you shut the door on Carson Steele so fast.
I mean, I've shut the door on Carson Steele. If you can't make it in this running back room, there might not be a running back room in the entire National Football League that is a fit for you. I mean, it wasn't Lynn's sanity, but man, it was our Kansas City version. We spent time talking about his personal life, how he grew up, his pet, and all of these things. He played one game for the Chiefs. He played that second game against the Falcons. He fumbled, and we have never heard from Carson Steele ever again.
I don't know why I can't have a Jeremy Lin. I don't understand why I can't have that.
You know what? I want that for you. I just don't think that player is going to be Carson Steele.
That's fine. I don't know who else is going to be on my... right now, it might just be Gardner Minshew, but I obviously don't want him forced into action here. So, I will remember Carson Steele every time I look at my framed Carson Steele jersey that I have on every wall in my home.
Let's fast forward to week 4 of the NFL season. Do you think that Kingsley Suamati is still starting for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Ooh, fun question. Yeah, I think so. But that's not where I thought you were going. I was thinking, oh, week 4, I've got the Rashee Rice case around there somewhere. I think he will be, but you can hear the hesitance a little bit. I think it's really fascinating that Jalen Moore never took a rep at guard in the preseason. Every snap he took, check my notes, but every snap that Jalen Moore took this year was at right tackle in particular, being there in the realm for Juwan Taylor to be spelled if necessary. And obviously, you know, if Josh Simmons gets hurt, he's going to be the first guy up at left tackle. I don't think I'm as interested in seeing Mike Caliendo at left guard as I was at seeing what Jalen Moore could do there. So I think Kingsley gets a longer leash this year, but obviously I'm saying that after he got 2.5 games basically last season, and then by week 3 it was over. Or by week 4 it was over. No, it was 3. It was 2.5 games. A game and a half, and then by week 3 it was
yeah,
done.
And then he was out of here. Yeah. I'll ask you this. Week 1 of the NFL season, is Mecole Hardman on the team or on the practice squad?
I was just thinking about this, and obviously he got cut. You had the whole Derek Nnadi thing. Mecole Hardman did this last year. Here's what I'll say. I think a practice squad spot makes a lot of sense, but do you like him more than the upside of Jason Brownlee? Probably. The one thing that the one person right now who's got to be a little bit spooked is Nico Armijo, because if you were to say, hey, you know, I know Nico's not doing much on the offensive side, but we really like what he brings in the return game, I'd ask you back, who would you rather have back for a return, Mecole Hardman or Nico Armijo? And Hardman still has the top-end speed there, and we've seen him do that quite a bit without a ton of huge mistakes, you know, some questionable fielding decisions on a punt here or there. But if you think that Nico's making it as the 7th receiver right now and thinking that he'll have to play, be available as a receiver when Rashee Rice gets hurt or when Rashee Rice eventually gets suspended, I think he'd make a pretty good argument for Mecole Hardman knowing more in the offense, being able to do more offensively, and being a roughly equivalent returner. I think that's at least on the table.
That is our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. Josh, man, we look forward to having you pop on during the football season, my man.
Happy to do it again. I'll get you a long printout of all of my official titles by the next time we do this.
I appreciate that. Looking forward to it. That's our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us on the show today. Really happy to catch up with him and get his thoughts on the Chiefs as we are all waiting to see what their 53-man roster looks like. Coming up on the other side, Travis Kelce announced his engagement today. He also announced something else, too. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right. Congratulations to Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. They announced earlier today that they are engaged. I'm just guessing. I don't know this. I think they've been engaged for a couple of weeks and just simply told us now that they are engaged. It's their life. It's their business. They are allowed to do whatever they want. I'm guessing they were engaged when she went on New Heights a couple of weeks ago, and they just decided to roll it out and tell us today. Good for them. You guys know that this was also Travis Kelce confirming that he is going to retire at the end of the season, right? I mean, let's play this thing out. Travis Kelce, this offseason, is going to have the biggest wedding since when? Just really think about that. This is the biggest wedding since when? Rob, Jay-Z, and Beyonce? I mean, like, we're talking American couple, not royal wedding. Like, when was the last time the two Americans got engaged and married that we think is bigger or close to the level that we are talking about? Travis Kelce is about to do that. He is also in the final year of a contract. We have also seen that Travis Kelce wants to do other things. Movies, podcasts, television shows. Wants to do other things. I mean, we all see how this is going to play itself out. Travis Kelce is going to play one more season in the league. Taylor will be at every game, as many games as she can be at. They are going to do this year. Next year, they get married. She announces a tour. It sells even more than the most recent tour that she went on. Travis Kelce is there. He supports her as now being a married man. I mean, can't we all see how this plays itself out? Today was the start of the announcement of this is my last season. I don't think he says it during the course of the season, but the writing is on the wall. It's been on the wall for a very, very long time that this is the case. Travis plays one more year. She plays the supportive fiance. You get to be in that club for one more year. She clearly likes and enjoys going to games and everything that comes with being at a suite at Arrowhead following the most popular football team in the National Football League. They do that for one more year, and then they move on with their lives together as a married couple. They're planning a wedding. They go on one of the most extravagant honeymoons that we have ever seen before. I mean, that's just obvious to me. That's what I think today was. Today was the start of that. Today is the rollout for them. The last 2 weeks has been a rollout for them. The podcast, the album, the engagement, the album that comes out in a couple of weeks. Like, all of this is a rollout to the finale, the tour and his retiring and the everything that comes with it. That's how I see today.
I think when you combine that with the fact that Travis Kelce's been in the league, what, 13 years? He's going to be in his 13th year. He's 35 years old and plays a taxing position. Like, it's not like he's a kicker. We've seen players in the league kick late into their career. Like, Morton Anderson kicked till he was like 41 or something. He plays a taxing position. I think people were having real questions about his long-term future beyond just this year before this announcement. But this announcement to me made it go from like 85, 90% to 100%. This is Travis Kelce's final year. And I don't think he wants the Kobe, Derek Jeter, whatever, you know, farewell tour. I don't think Travis Kelce wants that, so he's not going to come out and say it. But I think whenever the Chiefs season ends, whether it be the Super Bowl of confetti or they lose Super Bowl, they lose before the Super Bowl, it's going to be as emotional for him as it was for Jason when they lost the Bucks. Where, you remember, when Jason and the Eagles had gone to Tampa Bay and gotten walloped, by the way, but gotten walloped by the Bucks in the wild card round. At the end of the game, you could see Jason Kelce. I think he was talking to his parents. He was talking to his wife. His kids were there. You could tell he was distraught. And it wasn't just, hey, you lost a tough playoff game to a Buccaneers team. It was, oh, it's over. I think you're going to see that level of emotion at some point this season from Travis Kelce, because this is the end of the line. And I think if the Chiefs had achieved history last year with the three-peat, it may have already been the end of the line. But this feels like a farewell tour without saying you're on a farewell tour.
Someone on the text line says, I like the Swift news, but it's cut day. Tell us who our team is. We don't know the cuts yet. I'm happy to give you the news once we know it. There ain't no news yet. We're all sitting here waiting to find out. I find cut day to be very uneventful for the Chiefs. You know their roster. Their team's the same. I'm sorry. Their team's the same. If you watch the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, I'm telling you, you are not going to be. They don't have any plot twists coming up next Friday in Brazil. You know the Chiefs backwards and forwards. This was a run it back kind of year when it comes to. I think that the average fan knows the two deep right now for the Chiefs. Like, it's the same team you've been watching for the last handful of seasons or so. So I'm more than happy to get through the 53-man roster when we get it. We just don't have it yet. But at this point, there's only one or two positions that I think are possibly up for grabs on this team. I think everything else is just kind of locked in with this team. This team had an incredibly high retention rate this year. They kept a lot of players from last year. They brought back a lot of players from last year. There's not a lot of turnover with this Chiefs team. I think we'll get that answer coming up here in just a little bit. Back to what we were talking about. Someone says you could argue Jeff Bezos was the biggest, most recent wedding. I mean, it certainly was. I think what just makes this difference is people feel a closeness to both of them. Maybe I'm wrong in this. I don't know Jeff Bezos' wife's name. You know who he's married to, Rob? I do not know her name.
Is it Lauren?
I think so.
I don't know her last name. Bezos. Lauren Bezos.
I don't know what she does. I don't know any of this. Like, I just think this is part of why I think this is such a big deal. You guys all have a favorite musician. Like, you feel a different level of closeness to a musician. Like, you consume their music. You know it. You can relate to it. It feels like Taylor Swift's music is about finding love and failed relationships. So if you are a woman, if you are a fan, and you've been listening to her talk about this For 15 years, she has been singing this love story. You belong to me. She's been singing about this her entire career. She found love today. She found it. You're happy for it. Good. Congratulations. That's where I just think this is very different. Now, yeah, the Bezos waiting, it's going to be bigger, grandiose. I mean, Jeff Bezos, one of the 10 most wealthy people in America. That's not what this is. This is the most popular American superstar, and she is in a relationship with one of the five most popular NFL players. There's just not that many comparisons that we have. Again, like, we're talking like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Ryan Reynolds, Blake Lively. Like, it's one of those kinds. But I would just say two much more famous people than Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds. That's why I think this really, really just resonates with so many people, different than some of those other possible news stories. Can we take a quick detour from sports for just a little bit, and then I promise you we'll come back. Rob, do you have a certain airline that you usually fly? Because I would say I'm a Southwest individual. I kind of like Southwest. I like the bags fly free. I liked that. I also like that you get free iMessage when you're on there. Like, I don't need to have free Wi-Fi. As long as I can still text and talk to people, I kind of like Southwest. That's what I usually fly. Have we ever seen a company just make bad decision after bad decision more over the last 12 months in Southwest? You change the bags fly free. Now you're getting rid of the open seating. You're just not the Southwest that I grew up. Have you heard this most recent news story? Rob, I didn't even play this for you because I wanted you to hear it live and I want you to get your reaction. Have you heard the new rule that they're implementing in Southwest? Listen to this.
Southwest is changing another longstanding policy. So starting in January, the airline will require passengers who encroach upon the neighboring seat to buy an additional ticket, which may not be refunded. Now, previously, you could either pay the cost of an extra seat in advance and later get a refund, or show up at the airport and request an extra seat at no charge. So now the second seat will only be refundable if the flight takes off with at least one open seat and both are in the same fare class. Advocacy groups for overweight people calls the changes devastating since they raised costs.
Southwest. Who approved this? I'm not laughing. I'm really not laughing. It's just, how? Why? What made you think this was a good idea? This is my question. I'm asking this honestly. I'm really not trying to make fun of it. I'm really not trying to make light of it. Who determines if you're big enough or small enough that you need the extra seat? I'm honest. How do we determine whether or not you need this or not? How do we determine who qualifies in this scenario? It seems like there's way more questions than answers. This seems way more problematic than helpful in this. I don't know how you can think this is a good plan if you're Southwest. I just don't know how you can think this. I mean, someone gets paid millions of dollars that came up with this plan. I'm going to tell you in 2025, that's just not going to go over very well with people. I can't believe you would do something like this. This is a ridiculous story.
I agree. This is a ridiculous story. I mean, the woman in the report said it's an idea of if you encroach on someone, who gets to pick if you've been encroaching on someone? Is it the person being encroached on, the encroacher? Is the stewardess come over, the flight attendant, and say, okay, that's encroachment, we're going to charge you a second seat? There's so many problems. Southwest felt like the airline we all loved for the cheapness, the bags fly free, the open seating, and I didn't even know this was a thing they weren't doing in the past, but I liked they weren't doing that in the past either. And it just feels like the last 12 months, Southwest was like, hey, we know we're popular. We know people love to fly with us. Let's screw it up as fast as we can. What are they doing?
This just feels like, I can already see into the future. Someone's going to sue you for this and more than likely win.
Fast. You're going to get sued fast.
Like, I don't. It's just one of those things. I know how these ideas come together. I assume their job is like everybody's job. You got a group of really important people. You sit around and you guys throw out ideas. You know, people are just, hey, what if we do this? What if we do this? When someone says this idea out loud, nobody said, hey, I don't know. I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if that's going to work for the rest of us. I don't know. Some people on the text line, it's very, very split. This is an absolutely needed and necessary move by Southwest. I'm just simply asking, I don't know how you're going to determine whether or not this works or it doesn't work, and who is going to be the determining factor of this. So when you just buy a plane ticket, like right now you go on the app, I want to go to Vegas tomorrow, boom, you just buy it. Do you have to like put how much you weigh in before you buy the one ticket? And then when you go there and then they see you, do they then say, you actually need to buy another ticket? Like I just, tell me how you can implement this and how you think this is going to work. Because I'm guessing it's going to cause way more problems than it is going to solve solutions.
It just feels like there's like, even if it works out perfectly and everyone's like, wow, what a successful rollout of this plan. It's like, it's all of it. It's not just the one thing today, which the text line is split on. It's all of them. It's the bags fly free, gone, which we all loved bags fly free. It's the open seating, which I will say I kind of hated that people sprinted to the gate like to rush ahead and be like, look at me, or you know, you couldn't really log in to check into your flight. But again, we liked it, and they're getting rid of that. It just felt like the things that made Southwest the leader in the clubhouse, they were like, we don't want those anymore. Like, we want to be on even playing field with Delta and American. That's what we'd really prefer.
Yeah, no, I will say though, when that check-in thing, it did kind of feel like the Hunger Games. You had to be
100%.
Quick. You had to be quick on there.
It doesn't matter now because they changed it. I think it was rigged. I could, and my flight's at, you know, 5. At 4:59, I open the app, I hit refresh, check-in, boom, boom. It is 5:01 and 3 seconds at the top of the hour. You're B36. How? I logged in exactly at 5. It's impossible. It felt like a rigged game from the jump, but it was very Hunger Games-ish.
Someone on the text line. So I'm trying not to laugh at this because it's not funny. I can't believe someone thinks this is a good deal. Someone on the text line says, I just told you how it's going to work. You're going to put your bags on a scale and then you're going to jump on the scale. Okay, I think you're joking, but okay. What if you just decline? What if you just say no? Like, what's going to then happen in that scenario? We all see enough social media videos of people who get very confrontational with the person that's working the gate. This seems to me like, man, we're putting a lot of stress on this guy that makes $24 an hour. So now you got to make all these determinations and then you got to deal with the person that then paid for one ticket on their trip to Miami. You now got to tell that person, hey, you a little bit too big. Come over here and step on this scale. Wait, you weigh too much. Now we got to charge you two tickets. I'm just going to guess that not everybody is going to handle that news very, very well. And that's just going to cause a problem is what I'm telling you. It's going to cause an issue. It's not good.
I mean, it's an honest to God terrible idea. Like there's nothing about it that screams, you know what, you're really on to something here. I'm actually surprised even on people on the text line who are applauding this behavior.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised too. Coming up at the top of the hour, we are waiting to see when the Chiefs are going to make their announcement about their 53-man roster. It could be at any point. I mean, the roster is done. I just want to be clear there. You had to turn your roster in.
The NFL has the roster.
Yeah, so the NFL has the roster. We are simply just waiting to see what that roster looks like for the Kansas City Chiefs. We are also waiting to see if Micah Parsons is going to sign a long-term agreement with the Cowboys. Adam Schefter says they are not close.
Trey Hendrickson and the Bengals were not close to a deal, and they figured something out. If both of those sides can figure something out, that gives me some hope that there's a solution in there somehow for Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys. That's the upside. The downside is where they're currently at. They're currently in a state where the two sides have had absolutely zero discussions about a new deal since Jerry and Micah had their off-season meetings in late March, early April.
You know what? One thing that I have felt the last couple of days as I am wrapping up and finishing up this Cowboys documentary is, man, I'm so glad that's not the Chiefs. Like, in some ways, I would say the Chiefs are kind of boring as a dynasty. You know, when you think about the last handful of dynasties that you've had in the NFL, the Cowboys was a dynasty. They had a crack house. Like, legitimately, they had it. Their owner / general manager and their head coach at the end hated each other. And for the longest time, Jerry would not put Jimmy Johnson in the Cowboys Ring of Honor, even though they won two Super Bowls, because they both wanted credit for the success. You guys know how I wish we could go back in time, and I wish we could mark the amount of hours on media that we spent arguing who's more important for the Patriots dynasty. Is it Belichick or Brady? We've never had that argument in Kansas City. Not one time have we done that. Everybody seems to like everybody in Kansas City. I don't want to make it seem like the Chiefs never have any controversies. Sure, they've had some. Tyreek Hill was a controversy. Rashee Rice, sure. Yeah, it hasn't been perfect all the time. But when you think about dynasties recently and some of the issues that pop up with a football team, and the Chiefs are just kind of boring when you compare them to all of those other teams. I also, to bring them more to present day, I'm happy the Chiefs are no longer in the middle of this. Everybody's happy right now. Maybe Trent McDuffie is unhappy with his contract, and I'm guessing that Trent McDuffie ain't getting a new contract this offseason. Like, there has been no reason to think that Trent McDuffie is going to sign a long-term agreement in the next 3-4 days for the Chiefs. And once they get on that plane to Brazil, that conversation is over. You ain't signing a contract in week two of the NFL season. Everybody right now is on the same page. It's good in the kingdom. Everything is good in the kingdom. The quarterback's 100% healthy. Isaiah Pacheco is healthy for the first time since last September. We believe that Rashee Rice is going to play in week one. Everything is good right now in Kansas City. Nobody is holding out. Nobody is unhappy about the money. They don't have any drama. Everything is good right now. Sometimes you just got to enjoy it. I know some of you know this as a parent. You have those moments where you sit down and you got a beer in your hand and you got a glass of wine and you realize that you don't got nothing to do and the house is quiet. You can do whatever you want right now. Turn on Netflix. Go to bed early. Whatever you want to do. It's just peaceful right now. You got the house to yourself. That's how I think Chiefs fans should feel right now. Everything is good. I'm not worried about the 53-man roster. You know what? I know they're 35-man roster, and that's all that really matters when it comes to this team. You know who the starters are. You know the two deep. All of those major questions are answered for the Kansas City Chiefs. You got no injury concerns right now. You got no contract concerns right now. I just want you to sit back, and I just want you to enjoy the peacefulness that you have right now as being a Chiefs fan. Coming up on the other side, I didn't think about this in regards to Rashee Rice, but it's possible. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
For the first time in a long time, I'm willing to dream that this can be a special season for the Missouri Tigers.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAFGiving 360's donor-advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Welcome back into The Drive. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the top story of the day in Kansas City. Top story right now in the country. Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, they are engaged to be married. I don't know if you guys saw the picture or not, but Travis Kelce, the ring you picked out, great choice. It was very impressive. Very impressive. I mean, we all wanted to know. We all wanted to see. I'm telling y'all, I was like, hey, man, I don't know. I don't know what kind of, well, I don't know how the Chiefs paying you, but that's great job by you. We'll talk more about that coming up at the top of the hour. We are also waiting to see what the 53-man roster looks like for the Kansas City Chiefs. You have to have it turned in by 3 o'clock. You can announce it whenever you want. So we're all waiting to see what the final cut down looks like for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, when we have that, we certainly will pass it to you. I assume the Chiefs are kind of doing some stuff on the back end. We'll see who they'll pick up on waivers. We'll see who they want to try to designate for the practice squad. We'll see if they made a trade for somebody. There's certainly a lot of moves that are going to happen. And the thing we all know is that the roster is a very fluid situation. Guys get hurt. You bring guys in to work out. I mean, that bottom 5 to 10, sure, it's great to make the team and you want to be part of that 53-man roster. I think we all know, hey, there's about 35 guys to 40 guys that are 100% on the team. The rest of y'all, hey, I don't know. Like, I'm not 100% certain. So you obviously got to continue to fight to keep your roster spot once they actually get announced. We'll get to that coming up in just a bit. Rob, I did not think of this. I saw someone post this. I can't remember who it was. I would give them credit if I remembered originally who it was, but the Rashee Rice news sounds like the biggest 5 o'clock Friday before Labor Day news dump that we have ever seen. Does it not? Especially if they reach the agreement between the two sides. So if you guys remember, and I'll pull up the audio here, I mean, they can just agree right now on a suspension. They have a date for the sit down. That is September 30th. But right now, the NFL can tell Rashee Rice, we think you should be suspended 5 games. The players or Rashee Rice's side could simply agree and say yes. And tomorrow, they could just announce when his suspension would be. If they don't announce it before Friday of this week, then I think he is at least going to play for week 1. And then we can possibly see what can happen from there. But that sounds like the absolute biggest possible news dump that we can talk about. Here is Adam Schefter from last week. Here is what he is reporting. This was less than a week ago on Rashee Rice.
My understanding is initially the NFL would have liked to suspend Rashee Rice for 8 games. Wow. 8 games. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot to me because it's sort of like in a negotiation. Somebody could ask for $1 million a year and the price is going to come in at $500,000, so it doesn't necessarily mean a lot where you start out. But I think the league was of the mind right away that it would be 8 games. And I think if we look at the collective bargaining agreement, the baseline suspension for a personal conduct policy violation is 6 games. And I'm sure Rashee Rice would probably like it to be 3 or 4 games. So if we have the league at 8 and the player, let's just say, willing to take 4 and the baseline 6, Where do you think it's going to come out, especially when the PA is sifting through its issues and the league wants to exercise its power? Where do you think it's going to come in? Because that's where it's been this summer.
I think that is the biggest part about this story that no one is discussing. Where he mentions right there in the NFL Players Association. Now, we don't have to get into all of it because we would just spend the rest of our time today talking about all of the problems that the NFLPA has right now. They don't have a leader. Is this the best time for the NFLPA to get into a fight with Roger Goodell and or the owners? They are not operating from a position of strength. And if you right now are the one player in the league that is waiting to find out what your suspension is, and you think that the NFL might be a little bit heavy-handed, that's not really the position that you want to be in. So if you were telling me they are offering 8, you want 4, then just split the difference. We all have been in these kind of negotiations. You got tickets. They're worth $300 a piece. The person wants to pay you $200 a piece. Well, let's find a number in between $200 and $300 that we both can live with. You go to the concert, you go to the show, I get my money, and then we can all move on. This seems like such a simple issue to me. Now, I understand that you agreeing to take on those extra 2 games is money out of your pocket, but if there is a disagreement right now between the players and or the NFL slash owner slash Roger Goodell, what makes you think that's a fight Rashee Rice is going to win? What fight? What with what? And how? Especially when you've pled guilty to felonies. I would just take the 6-game suspension and let's just get it done at the very beginning of the season. Let's just get it done from week 1. Tell me that doesn't sound like a Friday at 4:00 news dump. It misses all of the conversation, all the big national shows. This is not a talking point on Tuesday when everybody gets back to work. There's going to be big time, major college football. Arch Manning makes his debut. Bill Belichick makes his debut. All of these things that happen in college football. We will be 2 days out from Cowboys and Eagles. Micah Parsons will either have not signed or, at that point, if you haven't practiced or participated with the Cowboys by Tuesday of next week, you are not playing in Thursday's football game. If there is ever a time for the NFL to make an announcement on Rashee Rice, it's Friday of this week. Is it not, Rob?
I think that would make sense for a news dump, but I don't think that's coming. I think the fact they are far apart and there is no PA, I mean, there is a PA, like it exists, but it's in turmoil, makes me think this thing is going to go to September 30th. I also would say, if we get start playing football games, if it's even the week 1 Thursday and we don't have a solution to this, we are going to September 30th. And just the clock is now on the side of people like me who think it's going to September 30th. Like, if you're not getting it done this week, are you getting it done next week when football started? Probably not. You get it done the week after that? Probably not. You have a date on the books and you're under 10 days, 15 days away from going. Why would you change the date? It feels like the clock is not on the Chiefs or Rashee Rice side, and it feels like we're going to get a September 30th judgment, which I've said before on this show, is probably the worst possible on the field outcome for the Chiefs because the thing gets slow played and a suspension is coming. And then the win becomes a massive question.
Yeah, we're all waiting on the win and how long. This feels good to make this analogy. I don't think we've ever made a bad Santa analogy on this show. You remember in the first Bad Santa where Bernie Mac figures out the scheme and then Billy Bob Thornton has accomplished. They're arguing on what the split should be. And every time they say a number, Bernie Mac just keeps saying half. Every time he says, well, how about 30%, 35%? They keep saying half. Like in this, I don't really know how Rashee Rice and his side win this argument. How long are you prepared to fight this thing? Who are you taking it to? You're taking it to a third person. I think at a minimum, she gives you 6 games. At a minimum, I think she gives you 6. You violated the league's personal player conduct policy. So that's a 6-game suspension. That's the same suspension she was going to give Deshaun Watson. I think at a minimum, that's the same suspension she gives you. What if you get more than that? I'm telling you right now, there's no way if you're Rashee Rice, you think you're getting less than 4. I don't know how or what basis you think it is. You also got to think that the NFL, they really think you should be suspended. If they really think you should be suspended, they're not letting you get off with one or two games or three games. So the number is somewhere between 5 to 7 that I'd be willing to accept if I'm Rashee Rice. If you're telling me you want 4 and they want 8 and they are not accepting that you are going to take a 4-game suspension, you got to find a number somewhere in between 5 and 7 that you can live with and just get this out of the way. And a Friday news dump coming up in a couple of days that at 5:02, we just get a tweet from Adam Schefter that the league and Rashee Rice have agreed to the terms of his suspension. It does feel like a possibility of something that could happen later in the week. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift, they're getting married. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.